A lot going on with the Nats, and our guy at Mark Zuckerman of MassinSports.com can break it all down. Mark, I actually want to go off the beaten path a little bit in terms of the series win over the Reds. Mackenzie Gore, trade deadline coming up. I actually would absolutely be shopping him. 2 years of control left. I think he's on the first plane out of here when he hits free agency as a Boris-advised player who, you know, has no real ties to D.C. Do you think they're going to try to trade him if they can get a package, or will that not really ramp up until this offseason, if at all?
I don't think they're shopping him, for sure. Now, if other GMs call Mike DiBartolo and say, hey, here's an offer, and it's so overwhelming that he can't say no to it, then I think you consider that. But the sense I get, and I take him at his word when he told us this, that none of young core players are, in his mind, on the block right now. And it's a matter more of you'd have to get something major, major in return. And I get what you're saying about the fact that you may only have a couple more years of him anyways, and if this team isn't ready to win by then, or even if it is, you're going to lose him eventually. But you trade Mackenzie Gore after everything else you've gone through right now, that's a tough sell to your fan base from what's been going on here over the last year and certainly, you know, 4 or 5 years now. So if you do that, you better be able to make that clear that this is not just in the best long-term interest, but that this is actually going to help you win in the short term as well.
So I totally agree with you that it would be a terrible thing to do in the short term from a business standpoint. You could add it to the list, by the way. So is apathy, not adding players, and a lot of the other decisions that they've made or haven't made over an extended period of time. And you would have people that check out, you know, people that just say that's the straw that broke my back or whatever. My point is, a lot of people said that with Soto, and I know you're not getting a Soto return, but they would actually get a hell of a return for Mackenzie Gore, who I view as basically a rental at this point. And if you trade him with 3 postseasons to go instead of 2, as we saw with Soto, it's a substantially different, better return. I think you could get, you know, a couple of pieces that could be in the rotation sometime next year as part of a package, potentially with the right organization. And in the same way the Soto deal was a step back for a couple of steps forward, they don't really have assets like that. Now, I'm not the guy that's like, I'm not the A's. I'm not trying to just trade everybody with 2 years of control left. But my personal belief, speculation, informed speculation, whatever you want to call it, is that this guy's not re-signing here. And so it goes back to my Soto adage of the best time to trade him is never, and the second best time is right now.
Yeah, and there's absolutely baseball logic in what you're saying. Again, if you can get something that is so clearly worth it and you can convince everyone this is going to make your team better, give you a better chance of winning, you know, even in the next year or two, not just 3-4 years down the road, then I think you consider it. But you also got to remember, if you're Mike DiBartolo, you don't know if you have this job beyond this year. So you're doing things to try to help set the organization up in the long run. But ultimately, how do we know if somebody else does get that job, whether they would want Mackenzie Gore on their team or not? And so it does make it tricky when you start talking about trading away guys who have more than just a year or maybe a year and a half of control left.
So who is going to be on the move? And I guess kind of by that same logical extension, Mark, wouldn't that be a tougher sell for a short-term season where they're going to lose 90-some games? I mean, I guess at some point you got to make a move for the future of the ball club, right, for some of these short-term guys?
Sure. No, of course. And I think the guys who are going to be free agents at the end of the year, those are the obvious ones, and I'd be surprised if they don't move them all, or at least don't look to move them all, depending on what they get offered. So that's Josh Bell, who thankfully has finally started to hit quite a bit.
Yeah.
That's going to help. Michael Soroka, who we've talked about, like the underlying numbers haven't been great, but the peripheral numbers suggest that he's better than that, and there could be a team out there that sees it. Kyle Finnegan has not helped his cause if he wants to be traded with his performances here in the last few weeks. But I think regardless, a closer who's going to be a free agent at the end of the year, you look to move him anyways. And then, you know, the types of like Ahmed Rosario, Paul DeJong, Andrew Chafin. Now, I don't think you're getting a ton in return for any of these guys because that's the way it works now with rental players. But it is the smart move to make once you concede that you're not winning this year for guys who are going to be free agents anyways.
What about Nathaniel Lowe? I find
that's
him interesting because the way I always heard it was there was a little bit of friction, maybe. Maybe that's too strong of a word. But like the real numbers guys in the front office didn't love that trade as much as, say, the baseball guys like Mike Rizzo. Well, Rizzo's out, and now the numbers guys are kind of running the thing. I think it's more likely that they trade him even with a year of control next year than maybe 2 months ago. What do you make of that?
I think he is the one who is under control beyond this year that you definitely would be making calls on, not just waiting to hear from other people. The issue there, I mean, look, as you know, you could spend 45 minutes deciding whether or not you think Nathaniel Lowe's had a good season.
It has happened before.
Yes. He's still on pace for 25 and 100, and that's fantastic production that they're just not getting from hardly anybody else. He also has a sub 700 OPS, which is not good for a first baseman. And I think the biggest thing is that the defense has not really been as advertised. This is a former Gold Glove winner, and it just hasn't been what we've seen from him. So given all that and the fact that in arbitration, he's probably going to make $13-14 million next year. If you don't believe he's worth that, then yes, I think you do look to trade him now and see what you can get, in return. Now, we talk about it's a hard sell for people. You traded away 5 years of a fairly quality reliever in Robert Garcia, and you're maybe only get 4 months of Nathaniel Lowe in return. So you better get something for him. This can't just be we're dumping him. It's got to be somebody that's going to make a difference for you, you believe, down the road. But I think that is one to consider. And then you are looking for a first baseman again next year. So if there is a thought that he could still be your guy next year and you're willing to pay him $13-14 million, then you don't have to make that move. But if you can get something for him and you're not sure that he really is what you thought he was going to be, then, yeah, you look to do that right now.
Mark, thank you as always, man. Have a great weekend.
All right. Thank you, guys.